Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and welcome to the Real Short Box Quick Talks. My name is Donald.
My name is Kevin.
And today we're going to talk a little bit about members of teams that that you might not know that well. Give you a little background of a few. This time we're going to be talking about the Justice League. So we want to get started with that. Basically, the original Justice League team started with, let's see, who was it, Kevin? It was Superman.
Batman.
Wonder Woman.
Aquaman.
The Flash. Green Lantern.
Green Lantern.
And Martian Manhunter.
Yes.
Yeah. And those guys were the original, the badasses that kind of started it all. That was back in, I think that was in the 1960s, right?
I would even say late 50s.
I think the first appearance of the Justice League was actually in The Brave and the Bold, number 28,
yes.
Or 29. I think it was 28, and it had those dudes, those cats in it, and they formed the team to fight some baddies. And then in the, I think it was later in the 60s, in the later 60s, they added some more teammates. And some of these guys, I mean, for starters, Martian Manhunter, you know, being one of the original members, he's probably the least well-known of that original group. Am I correct?
Yeah, he is, and he's also one of the coolest members of the group, but the least appreciated, in my opinion.
Absolutely. He had that BDSM kind of outfit going for him there, where it's just these straps across his shirtless chest and some little trunks that he wore and a cape. And he just flew around all green and lean and proud and just flaunting it. Just flaunting it.
Oh, just to let you know, March 1960.
March 1960. Ooh, da lottie. That's a good month and a good year, March 1960. For no other reason than the fact that it's when the Justice League was formed.
Created by Mr. Gardner Fox.
Gardner Fox. Wow. I did not know that. So, Martian Manhunter, a little bit about him, I would say, is the dude's from Mars.
From Mars. And he has a cool name, John Johns.
John Johns, yeah. And he lives amongst us. He's a shapeshifter. He has super strength, super flight. I can't remember. He, besides being green, he's super strong, super fast, too. And if I recall, there's some telepathy that he could do, some telepathic powers.
Yes, telepathic powers. You know, his powers are not too far away from Superman's powers and abilities. Superman always gave him credit for being a tough cookie.
It's funny, too, because if you ever read any of the comic books, the only time the dude ever got any respect, I think, was when, to me anyway, was when Grant Morrison was writing him. Like, he wrote him, I always thought he wrote him a little bit stronger and a little more powerful. And that's as he should be. He's always depowered or powered down. Even in the Supergirl series, John Johns is in there. And, like, he'll take one punch and get knocked against the wall, and that's it. And he's gone for a while, and Supergirl will take, like, 15. And I'm like, come on now.
Well, that's for a lack of knowledge from these TV writers. They should know better.
Lack of knowledge, and I guess they never want the secondary characters to be stronger than the lead, which makes sense, but...
Then just don't use them.
Yeah, you know, or have something else happen to him, you know, to where he's saving people or something instead. Something different rather than just being a little bitch.
Yeah, a guy with Martian vision, which includes heat vision, he has longevity, superhuman strength, endurance, speed, invisibility, intangibility.
That's right.
Elasticity, and you already mentioned shape-shifting, flight, superhuman regeneration. How in the world do you throw him in as a second-tier throwaway character? That is just very disrespectful.
Very disrespectful. How dare you? The 60s recruits then that came a little bit later, they hired in for the Justice League. They put in Green Arrow. And we all know him now, Arrow, the TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, which we all know him now, Ray Palmer from the Legends of Tomorrow
series.
Hawkman, same thing. You know, I think it was originally in Arrow and then made his way over to Legends. Black Canary, same thing, Arrow. And it gets a little more interesting when you get the 1970s recruits. Okay, and then we get into some fun ones. We get into the Phantom Stranger. Elongated Man. Red Tornado, Hot Girl, not Hot Girl, but Hot Girl. and and Zatanna.
Now, Zatanna, that's a cool character.
Absolutely. She's very cool. Zatanna Zatara is her name. And that's a very cool name. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the Phantom Stranger. He's an interesting cat. He's a character of unspecified paranormal origins who battles mysterious and occult forces in various titles, of course, in DC's world of comic books. Now, he has his abilities are he has near limitless magic, manipulation, immortality, omniscience, and vast reality control. Vast reality control. That reminds me a little bit about the dude with the M vest.
Ah.
Shade the Changing Man. That guy, yeah. Kind of reminds me of that, you know, with vast reality control.
Also, if you want to go to the Marvel side, Franklin Richards can do that.
Yeah, so Franklin Richards, too. So it's interesting that this character was used, you know, it was created in 1952, guys. Seriously.
65 years ago.
Yeah. 1952. That's an old dude. He has another couple notable aliases, the Brotherless One and the Grey Walker, not to be confused with the White Walker. For you Game of Thrones fans. But that's a little bit on the Phantom Stranger. Now, we're going to see more of the Elongated Man as the sidekick to Flash in the new season of The Flash. They've already decided that they're going to write in Elongated Man. He's going to be in the plot. He's going to be in the story. They've cast him. It's going to be Ralph Dibny. And he is going to be a very intelligent man, a very good detective, apparently. So there's going to be some type of mystery going on in the next season of The Flash, Season 3, where Elongated Man needs to step up. Elongated Man, I know we've talked a lot about Plastic Man. We've talked a lot about, you know, Reed Richards and things like that. But Elongated Man, he's a little bit of a red herring. He first appeared in The Flash number 112, which would make sense why he's going to be in the series. He has superior deductive reasoning, finite ability to stretch and shape his body, enhanced agility and olfactory sense, greatly enhanced durability, and he's also a talented chemist. They decided to throw that in. So, he's a master detective, of course, as I said, and he was created in the 1960s, so he's a little bit behind Plastic Man as far as a timeline of being created. And I think they just felt that they needed another stretchy guy. I always thought that Elongated Man was like the redheaded stepchild of DC's stretchy people. I never felt he got a lot of respect. They threw him in, to Justice League Europe, which later became Justice League International, which was kind of the throwaway team. And eventually, they just basically pretty much almost killed every single person off that was in that team at the time. Thankfully, Elongated Man was not part of the team when that did take place.
You feel like he's like U.S. agent to Captain America? Doesn't get as much love as he deserves?
Yeah, kind of like that. Although, I don't think Plastic Man really gets a ton of love. But he's definitely more well-known as far as from the animated side and from the comic books, I feel. Although, we'll see what happens when this Flash series comes out, if a lot of love goes Elongated Man's way. We'll see.
Well, another person I believe deserves a little attention is Black Canary. And I think recently, with the release of the Injustice 2 game, some people have gotten a little introduction to her character. She debuted in August 1947, Flash Comics number 86. Her name is Dinah Drake. She's a master martial artist and possesses an ultrasonic scream, the Canary Cry.
Ooh, nice.
And, you know, a very lovely looking lady.
And the yang to Green Arrow's yang, so to speak.
That's true.
They were hard traveling heroes and lovers. Also in the 80s, when we roll around to the 80s, we look at Firestorm popping in there. So Firestorm becomes, you know, Ronnie Raymond and Martin Stein. And then here's where it gets great, guys. We get the Detroit team. This team existed for a few years in the mid-1980s following the disbanding of the original team. It consisted of Aquaman, Zatanna, Elongated Man, and John Johns, and later Batman, plus the following members. Here's the awesome ones. Steel, Vixen, Vibe, and Gypsy. Yes, Steel, Vixen, Vibe, and Gypsy. Now, out of all of those, I think I'd like to talk a little bit about Vixen. I know in Arrow and then more in Legends of Tomorrow, she's getting more well-known. She's basically another animal man. She can channel the powers of animals using this amulet necklace that she has on her body. And she touches it, and she can channel like a gorilla for super strength, a cheetah for agility and speed. She can fly if she channels like a hawk or something like that. It's kind of a cool idea. Not something I see needing two of. You know what I mean? Like, you have Animal Man. Why do you need Vixen? To me, and it's the same thing with Plastic Man and Elongated Man. Although, I feel like Vixen, she seemed to never be as cool to me, and it's probably because she first, the first time she was introduced to the Justice League was with the Detroit team, which is kind of the D team.
The D League.
Yeah, the D League. Detroit League of Justice, so to speak. Sadly, she did not get the notoriety, but that is starting to turn a little bit with the TV series, the CW, and stuff like that. We're going to move then into Justice League International. This group was formed in the late 1980s and lasted until the early 1990s. During this era, the Justice League was split into several teams. Lineup changes were rather frequent. Most of the Silver Age members were at least briefly part of one of these teams, and in addition, the following characters joined for the first time during this period. And my boy, number one on the list, the Blue Beetle, Ted Kord. Now, you can't go wrong with him. He's got great agility. He's super smart. He's tech savvy. He's rich. He's a billionaire.
Similar to Batman and Iron Man.
Yeah, he's got a nice sense of humor. So he's not a bad guy to have around during times of pressure to kind of relieve tension a little bit. You also have Captain Marvel. Dr. Fate, which we all know from Injustice 2, is pretty freaking awesome.
Oh, yes. I think I defeated many people with that character.
And we did a SmackDown of him not too long ago.
Yes, we did. Where it was Dr. Fate versus Dr. Strange.
And then Constantine stepped in. But yes. It was Dr. Fate versus Dr. Strange. Guy Gardner, Green Lantern. Guy finally getting some love here. Mr. Miracle, which I always found interesting. Dr. Light, the female Dr. Light, the female non-rapey. Good guy, Dr. Light. Booster Gold, forming the other half of Blue and Gold. Captain Atom. Rocket Red 7. Rocket Red 4. Fire and Ice. Of course, can't have fire without ice. Hawkman. Hawkwoman. Huntress. Dr. Fate again, only as Linda Strauss. Light Ray. Orion. General Glory. The Tasmanian Devil, which the last time I saw him, who was that guy? Who's the guy that Jarrett really loves? The one that, Prometheus? Was his name Prometheus?
Yeah, Prometheus.
Yeah, he really loves him. The last time I saw Tasmanian Devil, he was literally like a Tasmanian Devil skin rug in Prometheus's lair on the ground. He had his chair over top of him and his body was skinned and it was just like his hide. I thought that was a really cool way to show how vicious that Prometheus character was.
By the way, is there any Hawk and Dove on any of these teams?
Yeah, I think so at some point.
I feel like they're missing.
Yeah, you're right. They're coming. Hawk and Dove are on there at some point. Right now, I mean, we still have a few more to go through here for that. We have Light Ray, Orion, General Glory, Tasmanian Devil, Maxima, Ray, Black Condor, who was just absolutely useless, Agent Liberty, Bloodwind, which ended up being, I believe, Martian Manhunter. Flash, which was Jay Garrick. Animal Man.
Ah, I love Animal Man.
Well, that turns into Justice League Europe. So when you go to from Justice League International to Justice League Europe, you throw in Animal Man, Flash, Metamorpho, Power Girl, Crimson Fox, Blue Jay, Silver Sorceress, and Maya. Now, I'm intrigued with Crimson Fox. Crimson Fox, she was created, Justice League Europe number 6 is her first appearance. She was created by Keith Giffen and Bart Sears. Her powers are very, very interesting. She has animal speed and agility, pheromone control, enhanced senses. So basically, she can kind of, she's like the, who's the guy from Marvel? That always got the ladies kind of turned on, and he could persuade them. Iron Man 55.
Yeah, Star
That's
Fox.
Part of his power. Yeah, so she's like the female version of him. Mm. The sisters, Vivian and Constance D'Armas, the sisters ran Revson, a major Parisian perfume company, which may perhaps explain the origin of their pheromone powers. In order to make their heroic actions easier, they faked Constance's death so that one of them could operate as Crimson Fox while the other attended business functions. Readers of her, their comic book appearances could easily tell the difference between the two due to Vivian's more pronounced French accent. She was also always portrayed as a more carefree and outgoing woman than her sister. First two Crimson Foxes are deceased. Vivian D'Armas met her fate at the hands of French supervillain Pointer in Justice League International number 104. When the Justice League Europe team was formed, the team did not know that that member Iceman had been serendipitously replaced by the daughter of supervillain, the Mist. This new Mist killed three members of the team, including slitting Constance D'Armas' throat in Starman Volume 2, number 38. And that was in January 1998. Now, that Starman issue, number 38, was the best issue of Starman you'll ever read.
You don't say.
This Mist character did not give a shit. Basically, she's just a badass, evil woman that had, I believe she had a baby with Starman. I could be wrong. But she just went through and just kept killing all these Justice League characters. Like, for instance, Blue Devil was in there. She filled the tanks on the roof with holy water and then turned on the sprinklers. And the sprinklers, you know, basically burned him to death and then he died. So it was very interesting how she did those things. So Crimson Fox, rest in peace. You know, there's a few other characters here. And then we get into some more Justice League. Antarctica, post-Zero Hour Justice League members, JLA members, all these guys. There's just so many to go through that we just can't do it all in one quick podcast. So that's the first part of our Justice League story of characters that you might not know enough about. So stay tuned for the next time when we will bring up part two of this Justice League history and talk a little more about some of these characters.
And remember, support your comic shops.
Yes, support them, love them. Find us on Instagram, find us on Twitter, find us on Facebook. Find us on iTunes, find us on YouTube, just find us, love us, care for us, and when you do, make sure to always go to the comic shop, because that's where we will see you
at the comic shop.